I talked about being poor. We didn't celebrate birthdays because there was nothing, no presents, no nothing. We didn't have Christmas. We didn't have anything like that. So to then get married and go into someone who's, you know, where those traditions and all that is very important, it took a little coming around to it, and not because I didn't want to, just because that was so unnatural almost, which, again, that was my normal.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Dave Wilson.
And I'm Ann Wilson. And you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. So, Dave, your dad was married twice. Yep. What do you think life would have looked like had he been married six or seven times?
Are you serious?
Because I know how complicated it was just having like your mom and your stepmom. But yeah. Can you imagine?
No, I cannot even fathom. It was complex with two. And you had three. I mean, I know that's how it happens for some people. In fact, today's show is going to be an interesting one because we have Ron Deal, our director of blended family here at Family Life, talking to some of our friends, Fred and Anita Von Cannon, who we've been friends with for years. And I didn't know half of their background.
Like crazy kind of stuff. You're in store for a dramatic story today.
Yeah. So here's a little bit of their background. Fred and Anita have been married 22 years. Fred had three kids before they got married, and then they had two more together. The ages of their kids are from 42 all the way down to 19.
And then Anita's parents were married 56 years before her mom passed away. Fred's parents, on the other hand, experienced many transition in and out of marriage. His dad was married, listen to this, 8 times, and his mom 3 times.
Yeah, I think one time Fred mentioned that, like in a passing comment.
Yeah, we're like, what?
You know, and, you know, knowing them and watching their life and their ministry, I would have never guessed. And then on top of that, one of Fred's stepmoms committed suicide, and one of his stepdads was murdered by his mom's lover.
It's like a movie.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Well, that's sort of the beginning, and you're going to hear more as you listen. So let's start here. At one point, Ron Deal asked Fred about his now adult perspective on his childhood. And so we're going to pick it up right there.
No matter how you grow up, honestly, if you grow up the Cleavers, if you grow up like we did, no matter how you grow up, when you're in it, that's your normal. I mean, everything else is abnormal. You're the normal, right? You just have a frame of reference of you because that's all you know. And then as you get a little older, and that could be, you know, 10 or it could be 30, as you're looking back on things and going, huh, you know, that type of thing. So as you have more perspective, you have more perspective and you have more time and more layers of the onion to peel back and trying to understand what and why and all that type of thing. But when you're going through it, it's your normal. As crazy as it may be, it's still your normal.
So Fred, let's just go back to the beginning, whatever that is for you. What do you remember about your family first? And just walk us down that road.
Well, as a kid, we moved a lot, you know, always moving, always getting used to a new place and new people and then, you know, moving again. I always say we moved a lot at night. Hmm. He left in some cases because he may have owed somebody something, or he may have slept with their wife, you know, or something. So there was just situations where we would get at about dinner time that we would get a U-Haul and pack it up and be gone by the time it got light. And again, as a kid, I didn't think anything about it. I just assumed that's how everybody moved. But, you know, when we're growing up, it's, you know, stuff that you look back on now that seems a little crazy. We had situations where we would be, even though we had, well, our mom and then 7 stepmoms we had along the way, it was never really that much time where it felt like anyway that we had a stepmom around. Our mom and dad were split when we were, I have a brother that's a year older, brother that's a year younger. So we were 2, 3, and 4, or 1, 2, and 3. I mean, we were basically really small. So we don't remember her until now later in life, but the stepmoms would kind of come in for maybe feels like just a few months at a time, and then they'd be gone. So most of the time, a lot of the time, it was just growing up with my dad, who was a very, his way or the highway, very strong disciplinarian. We got literally, you know, a belt whipping pretty much every day of our life. So that was something, again, I just assumed every other kid, you know, did. But, you know, he would always be traveling. He would want to go somewhere. So he'd leave four boys there and go to Missouri. We lived in Southwest Virginia at the time, and he would go to Missouri for a couple of weeks. And so he would leave us there for a couple of weeks on our own. And then he got to where he would take two of us with him and leave two of us at home. So, you know, we had 300 acres, a bunch of cattle. We had chores that we did every morning for an hour, hour and a half. And then in the evening when we got home from school, and we were on dirt roads forever. It was about an hour school bus ride. And so when we get home, we'd do our chores, but we would be on our own for a couple of weeks at a time when we were 9 and 10 years old.
Wow. Let me slow down just a little bit there. You're a young kid and you've got a younger brother. Sometimes there's somebody older who's there with you. Sometimes there's not. How did that go? Like, who took care of whom, and how did life work when you guys were left alone?
Well, for the most part, we just, as you can imagine, what a few 9 and 10 year old boys would do to a house in a couple of weeks. But mm-hmm. we always knew when he was coming home, he had it set, and we'd spend that whole day before trying to clean up the mess that we'd made for a couple of weeks. But we didn't think much about it being abnormal because it's just what we knew. And so he left us enough food and food for the animals. And so we just went through the same routine we would do if he was there or not. So, you know, allowed us to grow up a lot quicker than most. And it was different. I don't know that, you know, I mean, we fought all the time. So, you know, he'd come back and there would be something broken or whatever. My little brother was slower than I thought he was. And we had an old TV, and I had a shooter marble I was throwing at him, and I let him too much and threw it through the TV. So he came back one time and our old black and white TV had a hole through it. So, you know, there's always stuff like that, but that might've been the case if he was there too. So it didn't feel like that much different. Hmm. And when he would want to go, there was one time, I don't know if I told you this story, he was trying to get to where he could go and be without any of us to kind of free up and go for a little bit of a time. And he was always forever picking up hitchhikers. And in that era, we're talking about in the 70s, that wasn't really that abnormal. A lot of people would pick up hitchhikers and a lot of people would hitchhike. But he picked up a couple guys, befriended them. They wound up staying with us. And so he thought, this is a perfect situation. So he took off for a few weeks, and we had the hitchhikers were the adult supervision for a few weeks. And so we wound up.
Were they reliable? Dependable? Did they take good care of you guys?
No, they kind of partied the whole time, and we wound up sleeping out in the barn because they kicked us out of the house.
Unbelievable story. You're listening to Family Life Today, and we're listening to just a portion of the Family Life Blended podcast with Ron Deal and guest Fred and Anita Von Cannon, who are good friends of ours. And I didn't know this story.
I mean, you're laughing, but you're not laughing.
I'm like shocked.
You're sort of shocked. I mean, who leaves their kids with hitchhikers?
They just met them.
You don't even know that probably, oh my goodness.
As a child, do you even make sense of that?
You don't. But here's what's even crazier. Fred goes on to share how at age 19, he got married, but didn't have any idea what marriage was, how to do it, or what the purpose was. So he thought, if this doesn't work out, then I'll just get out.
Because he'd never seen anything different.
That's what his dad had done all those years. So he had an excuse to divorce. Well, they had three children and the marriage ended. Fred was devastated and wrecked by it, and he wasn't sure he'd ever marry again.
But he did. So let's pick up the conversation with Ron asking Fred and Anita about how their different family backgrounds came together.
And by the way, this is episode 99 of the Family Life Blended podcast with Ron Deal, and we're going to hear him talk with Fred and Anita.
I'd love to hear from both of you. Just what are some of those things you've learned life has taught you guys that makes for good marriage, good family, and commitment? I want to just start with that because, Fred, you were noting how obviously commitment was not something you saw demonstrated by your father. And so your first relationship, first marriage, you sort of had that in the back of your mind. Well, if this doesn't work out, there's always something else. What would commitment say to that attitude?
Yeah, that's not going to work for committed marriage. That's not going to be a good foundation or a reference point. And I think that's part of our story too, is I come in with a completely different background. Not only have my parents been married for almost 56 years, but they still live in the house that I came home from the hospital in. So, I mean, it couldn't be two more different perspectives that we came from. And even just sitting here thinking, like, what did I implicitly learn just from growing up in that house? I think, honestly, one of the things I think I see for us is obviously there's the marriage, but even more so to me is family and just how I grew up with a brother and two parent, you know, white picket fence kind of house and cousins and aunts and uncles, grandmas, and, you know, everybody in close proximity and like getting together for holidays and very traditions-based family, you know? And so like, there's things that just, they happen every year because, well, they happen every year. And so that was also something that wasn't modeled for Fred and was not a part of the picture growing up. And, you know, what do birthdays look like and holidays and all of that? And he can tell you stories that are different than mine. And so then going forward into the like, okay, so what's it going to look like now?
Yeah.
The five kids now, even different than like
Anita, let me just follow up real quick. There's a lot of people listening right now who are in your shoes. They didn't grow up in a blended family, but they married into one and they married into complexity. And they instantly became a step parent like you did. And you married a man who has extended family. I don't even know how many people we could count. Half brothers, whatever the case is. Half said, neither does
neither
he.
Do I.
And so what adjustment did you have to make, like stepping into that complexity?
I think, just to be willing to adjust and to welcome everybody. And I think it's really interesting. I know this is all about family life blended and growing up blended. But I think, like, not only that is, we all have that story, we all have the background, but like just who we are. So we have two different stories growing up, but we're still both as adults, very relational people. We both really see people and know people quickly. And so I think that's something, you know, we're both very open people, one of us extroverted, one of us in a more introverted fashion. But I would think that people would say our home now is an open door policy. And part of that was by design for the children to always feel welcome, to always have a place in our home, even though they never grew up in our place. I mean, when we got married, only one of them lived with us full time.
Only one of your stepchildren lived full time?
We got married and the youngest, Leslie, she was starting high school. The middle was stayed with his mom for a while to finish out high school where that was. And then the oldest was already off to college. And so just really, I mean, already almost at launching points, but wanting them, knowing that I wanted them as the mother of our home to know there was a place for them. And so the door was always open and there's a lot of people, not just them, who would say that this is a place where the door is always open.
That's something I would say that I didn't expect at all. And even when it was happening, I was probably a little resistant to it, maybe more than a little. But what she's talking about is so true. We never had this concept of like family other than just us boys, you know, that was it, because there was just no, my dad was the youngest by far. And so all of our cousins lived.
He was a blended family.
Yeah, lived a long ways away. And we just didn't know any of our family. And then we didn't have, I talked about being poor. We didn't celebrate birthdays because there was nothing, you know, there was no presents, no nothing. We didn't have, you know, Christmas. We didn't have anything like that. So to then get married and go into someone who's the, you know, where those traditions and all that is very important. It took a little coming around to it, and not because I didn't want to, just because that was so unnatural almost, you know, which again, that was my normal. I'm the one that's abnormal and the rest of the world is, you know, and, but I still had to kind of come around to it. And she's done an unbelievable job of normalizing and housebreaking, you know, me and my family to a large degree. You said it earlier when you talked about rules. That's perfect, because there are kind of just basic rules for things, right? Mm-hmm. And if you've never been taught those rules, we were taught certain rules, like, you know, if you don't do what I tell you, you're going to get a whipping kind of stuff. You know, we were taught those type of very actionable rules. But like rules for life, I couldn't tell you any that we learned growing up. So we had to learn them, which comes with a lot of pain and suffering. We had to learn them on our own. So that's the thing that I will forever be grateful of family life is when, I think late October of 2014. It was the fall of 2014. We attended an Art of Marriage that Chris and Mary Herndon led in Greensboro, and it was attached to a C12, a business conference. And so we tacked on this about, yeah, let's do that. And we were there with another couple, and they wanted to do it. So we stayed there and did it. And that whole day and a half that we did this Art of Marriage, and you know it well, there's six sessions, and we went through them. And I can't even tell you how many times that, you know, just hearing something that is so basic and so like, duh, you know, but hearing somebody tell me the rules for the first time. Now, it doesn't mean that I shouldn't have figured out a lot of these rules on my own and did. And you know, we've been married for 20 years and I think the rules have been pretty good. But I'm just saying it was so impactful, so like literally life-changing impactful, you know, to hear all those people talk about just simple biblical truths and how they relate to marriage was literally the biggest game changer weekend in my life. And as it turns out, we get home and on Monday morning, we get the call that my dad had passed away.
Wow. I mean, this story never ends. You know, you're listening to Family Life today, and we've been listening to a portion of an interview that Ron Deal, our director of Family Life Blended, had with Fred and Anita Von Cannon. I mean, it's just one of these crazy stories, and now we have Ron in the studio with us, so we get to get sort of your perspective. I mean, Ron, you could hear the emotion in Fred's voice there. As you know, a product, a resource that we here at Family Life made years ago. I remember when Ann and I sat down to be interviewed for the Art of Marriage, had no thought of people like Fred and Anita will be impacted by this. So, I mean, talk about, you know, the lessons learned from this interview.
Well, they, to me, are a good illustration of God's redemption in people's lives. And expressed well the shock over their story. These are people you know, and if you met them, and you guys have met them many times and spent time with them, and you wouldn't have guessed any of that hard, difficult background to their life. Because what you see are capable, strong, competent people
successful. Who
are, yes, in so many ways. And of course, that's what we have on the outside because that's who they have become. But life started hard for Fred. Mm-hmm. Now, Anita had a strong, stable, healthy family environment. And she married a guy that came from, you know, nobody ever said that commitment mattered. And he just didn't even know the elementary blueprint principles about how to do relationships. But God grew him up. And their marriage, their blended family, the two kids that they added to his three, they have done a fabulous job in their home, and they are changing other people's lives. You and I both know how invested they are in helping other people find the good news about how to do marriage and family if found in the gospel. And they are impacting tons of people, taking people on their cruise every year, sponsoring their own church activities. Nan and I are going to be speaking at their church coming up, doing a mindful marriage conference in the spring of 2025. Like, they are after it, going after it, because they've finally seen, oh, this is what it means to change a life. And they're a living example of that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, we've done that conference at their church. We did a vertical marriage there a couple of years ago. And it just, it's such a great, I guess, a reminder of it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
There you go.
And if you look at especially Fred's start, my start, I mean, it's like you would not predict good things for their future. No counselor looking at their, you know, their family history would think this one's going to work out. And yet that's the radically transformed power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit of God entering Fred and Anita's marriage. And, you know, we've spent time in their home and met their kids. And again, you can't connect who they are now with who they were, but that's what Jesus does. It's just, it's such a powerful story. And I believe this is what you do every day, Ron. This is what he wants to do in all of us.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun for me to get to tell these stories because I want the world to know, and I want our listeners right now to know that whatever your story is, you know, God can work with it. He's really good at taking imperfect people and working out his perfect principles in their lives to bring about his good purposes. I'm a living example of that. Nan and I have had difficulty in our life, in our marriage. We have struggled with grief and sorrow and sadness and pain and difficulty in how we've treated one another. And that's part of our story that we're telling in the book, The Mindful Marriage, at this season of our life. And we're living examples of that. It is so fun to be around redemptive, redeemed people because why? Aren't they the greatest people in the world? Because they are so grateful for mercy.
Yeah.
And they're not walking in arrogance at all because they have been brought to their knees. I have been brought to my knees. These are the kind of people you want to be around. This is who the church is, and it's who we should try to strive to be.
And I think what happened to Fred is he'd never seen a picture of what a godly marriage could look like, a marriage built on the foundation of Jesus. So when he saw that, I think his mind was blown.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he puts on these conferences. He wants as many people to know this is how God can change a legacy. I had heard the gospel for the first time in my life was when I was 16. All I wanted to do is tell everybody, like, how have I never heard this? This is mind-blowing. I need to tell as many people as I can. And that really is Fred and Anita's passion. We want people to know the unfathomable grace of the gospel.
And of course, that's something we're very invested in here at FamilyLife, is people like them helping you, the listener, go the next step to impact your corner of the world. There's somebody around you that you have a good word to share with them. And when God opens that door, step through it and share something with them. Maybe it's a word, something you've learned, something you're learning in your life, or maybe it's a resource, maybe it's a tool. Maybe you talk to a pastor and you say, hey, can we do one of these events? I don't even know what that means or how we go about it. Reach out to us here at FamilyLife. This is something we're good at. We help churches take that step. I know at FamilyLife Blended, we're specifically trying to help churches understand blended families and how they can minister to them. We want to help you do this.
Yeah, and I would just encourage you, as you've heard the, you know, Fred and Anita's story, don't hide your pain. They didn't hide their pain. Ron and Nan are not hiding their pain in their book. We haven't hid our. It's where God meets us in that pain. And then here's the greatest thing. He meets others in their pain that's similar to your pain. It's a beautiful thing that he does. Yes. He meets you and then he says, with the comfort I've comforted you, I want you to take that to others. And that's what Fred and Anita are doing. And I think that's what God wants to do in and through you as well. What a great conversation with Ron Deal. And let us tell you, there is a great event that Ron puts on called Blended and Blessed that you want to be a part of. It's a one day, one event, a lifetime of change for your blended family. And this year it's April 5th. It's live in Franklin, Tennessee, but you can also live stream it anywhere you are, so it's going to be live streamed all around the world.
Oh, I like what the topic is about too. It's about overcoming pain and behaviors that sabotage blended family relationships. Everybody needs that. And Ron and Nan are going to share their personal story, which is pretty incredible, and help you learn how you can overcome destructive cycles in your marriage.
So here's how you get signed up. Go to our blendedandblessed.com. Blendedandblessed.com. You can sign up there. It's a life-changing event.
So we'll see you next time for another edition of Family Life Today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry. helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.